Well, 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 Blockhead Nation, here we are. 100 plus episodes, 10 exciting guests, and many more to come, and the journey has just begun. Want to remind my listeners that your favorite Blockhead's associated with the Yogi's Podcast Network, where you can listen to The Nightly Rant with Mike and Toria. You can listen to Liberty Revealed and one of my personal favorites, The Elite Podcast Academy, that will teach you everything you need to know about being a professional podcaster. To take your show from 0 to 60 in 5.2 with all the tips from Mike himself from the Yogi's Podcast Network. And also to remind you that I'm associated with the Dose Leprechauns page. Dose Leprechauns Media has taken off. The merchandise is looking great. All that being said, the little redhead girl is giving me the go-ahead. So what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again this evening. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. As we get started, two things I can always tell you is that I will be supporting Ride with Dan USA for the rest of the time that this podcast runs, until he reaches his final destination, until the end comes to, which I doubt it will, to the one pedal at a time movement. Those links will always be available on this podcast. You go to the blog and you go to the links, you will see Ride with Dan USA. If you want to donate to my friend, my shipmate, either to his cause, the one pedal at a time movement, his nonprofit organization, or my suggestion is to donate directly to him. The winter is upon us in Texas. It's getting cold out there, and times are getting tough for him at this point. So I will say that from the bottom of my heart. Please consider going to my page from the blog, yourfavoriteblockhead.com. Go to the blog and go to Ride with Dan USA. Click the link and donate to my friend. And the second thing I will tell you, what a difference a day makes. I will be getting to that a lot in this podcast, more towards the end. But as we get started, guys, I want to give a shout out to my friends over at Kona Coffee. Kona Coffee, direct from Hawaii, harvested only when the beans are cherry red, so that every roast is sure to have the taste of aloha, spot on every time. Featured in Forbes' top 10 coffees of the world, Kona Coffee is referred to by Forbes as the best Kona coffee in America. Your favorite Blockhead personally recommends the ground dark Vienna roast. The medium roast is delicious too. Check out the link that I have. Go to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. Go to the link for Kona Coffee and get yourself the best Kona coffee in America. Any of those that you purchase, a small commission comes back to yours truly to help support paying for the podcast, or to send yours truly on to Dallas on Air. Would love to make my way back over there sometime this year. It's been almost a year since I have graced the Jedi Master's presence, and it would be nice to join Dallas on Air once again. Now, to get started with today's podcast, I kind of have to go through what I mean by intentional and unapologetic. Starting with that one, when it comes to being unapologetic, coming from yours truly, one thing I'm starting to get better at, I haven't really got to the point where I'm doing fan questions and answers yet. We're not quite to that in the listenership for this podcast. Hopefully one day we can get to that point and we can start having fan Q&As that I take. I either read them on the podcast, or we have them live, or we have them on the show pre-recorded. Either some way, that's kind of the intent down the road, to get more fan interaction on this show and just to be able to get some of you listeners to give some input. But I've sent out a couple of questions. Just what did you want to hear discussed on this podcast? And one of them is just being unapologetic for who you are. In other words, my identity is found more in the individualism that you have from this show. And I can tell you that I'm not going to deviate much from what I do. Sometimes it's a little bit of a hard sell when I come and talk to you guys about Peanuts, being the most successful comic strip in American history and the longest running comic strip in American history, bar none. It's a little bit hard of a sell sometimes because not everybody is a fan of the Peanuts. And then to have a leap that only Evel Knievel can make, which is to jump into MMA like the UFC and Bellator MMA. Not everybody follows combat sports the way that I do. I also happen to follow boxing, just not as closely. I also follow NCAA wrestling. That's another one that I look into. So a lot of these that are hand-to-hand combat, you have my attention. And that's just going to be something I'm not going to deviate from. And I can tell you that I will discuss history on this podcast. I teach Texas history and U.S. history and world history. And I can unapologetically say that I'm going to be disengaged when you want to talk about politics. If you want to talk about politics, I'm going to send you over to the Yogi's Podcast Network. Go talk to my buddy Mike Mahoney. Go talk to Mike and Tori on the Nightly Rant. That's a free plug to them, but be prepared to be questioned. Just be ready if you're going to do that. Be ready to have some critical thinking and be ready to show your evidence. And if you have a rebuttal, be prepared for that. Don't try to walk in and act like you're going to take the reins of the show. It's just not going to happen. But if you want to get more involved in politics, you're not going to get a lot of that from me. But it was also asked by one of the listeners about the extremism that is happening, or the extreme divide that is happening amongst, I think, maybe society, maybe against, when it comes to the president, when it comes to Congress. And it was asked that, can you talk about how extreme that is? And my question is, what do you mean by extreme? When people say, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. When people say that Donald Trump is not my president, how much do they mean that? Do they mean that as they are stomping their foot and sticking their lip out because they're not getting their way? Or are they actually causing their state to secede? Here's what I mean by this. When South Carolina said, Abraham Lincoln is not my president, they meant it. So did Texas. So did Alabama. So did Georgia. So did Mississippi. So did Louisiana. Are you seeing what I am driving at here? You can debate with me on politics all day long, but I will tell you this. Change the channel. In your attempts to be informed and educated, in a way, you are spreading toxicity through your own brain and through your own heart, and you are spreading that toxicity through the words you use with others you interact with. Now, if you have a cause you want to stand for, I'm not telling you to stop what you believe in, but Linus Van Pelt once said in the most wise words that I can imagine, there are three things that you never discuss with people: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin. On this show, I will talk about a faith walk. I will use the scripture of the day. But I don't push religion on you. I don't push any political view on you. And so when I'm asked, is that un-American? When you say un-American, this is a nation that once was divided amongst itself. We had a war that had brother versus brother, father against son. When they said Abraham Lincoln is not my president, South Carolina meant it. Thus you had the Confederate States of America. You had not a United States of America, but two divided countries. That's what sectionalism is. Now, if you mean the idea of republicanism and what we should be standing on the principles and the foundations of our country, I see what you mean. But in a way, isn't it American for us to continue to debate with each other? Isn't it American to have a breathing, evolving document known as the Constitution of the United States that we add and amend to when we see fit? I'm just asking, what do you mean by extremism? There was a book that came out by Charles Colson. Now, the divide that is happening politically, it's funny how when there's a time of war or when there's a tragedy, we know how to come together. So, post-World War II, into the Cold War, you did have Republicans and Democrats that were discussed in this book by Charles Colson called The Sky Is Not Falling, Living in Turbulent Times, about how Republicans and Democrats would go in the same office at some point and smoke cigars with each other and laugh and be cordial and still be friends. And now you can't even get them on the same elevator together. Now, do I think the divide there, that there is a widening gap? There's no denying of that at this point. But how much of this is going to affect your life is how much you watch the evening news. If you want to get what the Republicans say, watch Fox News. If you want to hear what the left wants to say, read the New York Times. It takes a little more effort to read the one in the middle, known as Bloomberg, and try to hear at least both sides. That takes a lot more effort. Do I believe that there is a part of America that's become lazy and apathetic? Yes, I do. But no offense, what extremism are you talking about? It will go away when you stop watching the news. Zig Ziglar once said, every morning he gets up, he reads the newspaper, and then he reads the Bible. That way he knows what both sides are doing. I always thought that was a great quote to use from Zig Ziglar, one of the greatest minds for self-motivation that could be out there. But again, the identity in my individualism, I'm not going to deviate. Some of you might want me to come on here talk on politics, and I refuse. I'm not going to do that. You got enough people that are arguing about that. They don't need another one. You got all these people that are in the top tens of podcasts right now across Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Sure, it'd be nice to be up there with the Joe Rogan Experience, but you want me to come on and talk about true crime and get people twisted in conspiracies? You're not going to get that from me. You want me to talk about what position I take, conservative or liberal, in the political realm? I'm not going to do it. It's going to be divided amongst my... Now, I want you to have an open mind about the Great Pumpkin, okay? Can we get that one cleared out of the air? Be open-minded about that. But, you know, that is what it is. But if you want to talk politics, I got a guy I can send you to. Check out the Yogi's Podcast Network. But yes, I unapologetically stand here and say this is the way that the show is going to go. Now, if I have a guest on here, then I might have you on, and there might be some question, debate, there might be some just challenging your train of thought. That could happen. But I unapologetically and intentionally bring you the three corners of the content that I have here, because I believe that puts you in a better place and a better state of mind. Because too often I talk to y'all and you say that you enjoy the educational entertainment aspect of this show, and that seems to be what's working. It's been taking a little bit of a climb. It's taking a little bit while. It's not a fast-growing boom and bust cycle podcast, because as the story goes, the tortoise is going to win against the hare. So having the longevity of the show, just like it did for the Peanuts comic strip, it evolved over time too. It had a subtle message known as art parable that continued throughout until Charles Schulz's death in February 2000. And that's going to be the narrative that I present to you. I'm going to present what I've seen as a fan in MMA. Now, am I going to give you any more than what the evidence has presented to me? Yes, that's all I've got. And I share with you as many resources as I can think about. If you want to know where a lot of my U.S. history references come from, they come from my bookshelf. I'm doing in the study in my house for my podcast. I can give you those references if you need them. I will talk history with you. Getting into current events is going to get you tore. I mean, maybe I can send you to a bounce house and you can get some of it out of you. I mean, maybe you need to be in a rubber room just to get some of that out of you. But again, that's my answer. Turn off the news, even though you intend to be educated on it. I've said this before. Never once. My dad would always drive to the end of our driveway before he would go to work. I'd be getting ready for school. My dad would drive to the end of the driveway. He would have said to me, have a good day, and he would kiss my mother goodbye. He would go to the edge of the driveway. Then he would go up to the mailbox and pick up the paper. I remember so many times my dad reaching into the mailbox and pulling out the mail and looking at it and smiling and saying, I'm so glad that Bill Clinton is our president. I'm so glad that George Sr. is in office right now. And then putting the car in reverse and then coming back in the house and going back to sleep. I remember so many times him talking about how much he adored George W. since he took over. No, that's not what he did. He brought the mail to the front door, and he put the paper on the front door. He got back in the car, and he went to work. None of these presidents are ever going to send you any money. All they're going to do is take it. I guess it depends on who's in office, how much they're going to take. Maybe that might be true here. But my point is, go out and be a productive citizen. Yes, when the time comes, vote for what's going on in your local community. Yes, go serve on a jury if you're asked to. I know that takes effort. We have to stop being lazy and apathetic, but don't talk to me about extremism in our country. Don't tell me that it is at the height it was during McCarthyism when everybody's being accused of being a Soviet spy. And I'm not fired up. I'm just trying to make sure there's perspective on these. And know that I'm not going to change what my narrative is. And thank you for the quotes, but I hope that this is bringing a peace of mind to you. That's all I've got at this point. And is it un-American? I guess if you look at it in the ideals and the principles we could be standing on, I guess. And could that be debated? Sure. But what I've got for you is history. Will it repeat itself? Sure. I'm reading a book right now called The History of the United States in 5 Crashes on how we related to each other when the stock market is being affected. So we have our meltdowns that defined us as a nation. We defined ourselves as a nation that went to war against itself and then rebuilt it again, and the scar can still be found if you look into the pages of history. And I'm getting passionate about it because I happen to love what I do, but getting too involved in current affairs, look what it's doing to you emotionally and spiritually. Find your hope in what I'm going to share in a few minutes after I talk about my friends over at Sega Shop. Guys, when I was a kid, I loved talking, playing Sega Genesis with my friends. That was my favorite game console, my favorite system to play of all time. Loved it. And I can tell you now that ShopSega.com is now part of the show with your favorite blockhead. Check out Shop.Sega.com to get your paraphernalia, everything from t-shirts to phone cases to bags to wallets, coffee mugs, and collectibles that display all your favorite Sega Genesis memories, everything from Sonic the Hedgehog to Streets of Rage and more. Even the Sega Dreamcast apparel can be found on this show. So check out the blog page for this podcast and see for yourself at the Sega Shop. That's shop.sega.com. A lot of fun to be talking about those guys. Got some great paraphernalia to look through. Now, when I say somebody else who is not apologetic, that is none other than the notorious Conor McGregor. Oh my goodness, what a difference a day makes. Conor McGregor is back. Wow, is he back. And where to even begin? I've been chewing on this for a while, but again, I have to apologize because there is a quick point that I have to make, which is our scripture of the day. Look at me, I almost skipped over an important part of the message. Please hear these words from the chapter of Luke, chapter 10, verses 18 through 20. It says, "He replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" Now, to give this a little bit of a buffer on what I just talked about earlier, there has been talked about in the Bible, there's 4 falls of Satan. Now, the first one is what we're talking about. This is the first fall. Okay, most of it's going to be covered in the book of Revelation. But Satan is still powerful until he's being tossed into the dark abyss for 1,000 years. That's in the image of John in the Revelation, but he's still in an inferior place now. He is still a wolf among the lambs on where we proceed, guys. So Jesus tells the 70 in this section of Luke chapter 10 to rejoice for Satan's rebellion being subdued, because that's what's happened. He is being punished for his rebellion. But he warns them of being prideful in themselves. And guys, as you hear, there is a train in the background. Dan Hurd has joined us on the podcast once again. His presence will be here from now until the end of this run. Boast only in what God has done so that this may unite all believers and glorify His name. So to bring it back into Connor, we have to talk about the shoulder strikes. Now, the shoulder strike is really more common about giving yourself a little bit of distance. Randy Couture was really good about doing that back in the day, about if he got somebody in the clinch or if he tried to tie up with somebody, get a collar tie, then he would use the shoulder and bump them and give a little bit of position so that he can rear back and get his hand ready to throw. Not like this. I couldn't tell you another time, and I don't think you could either, of a guy who's in a fight going boom, 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 just one after another, and breaking Cowboy's nose. And Cowboy is known for starting slow. This is a guy that is a slow roast and actually gets warmed up toward the middle of the fight. Connor, knowing that, had to attack aggressively from the beginning, and he did. Shoulder strikes into the kick, and that's all she wrote. What an amazing performance by him. And now that's the thing about it. I wondered, just sitting back, if there was going to be any kind of, quote, foul play, or there's going to be a call from Cowboy saying, now, that was a foul, that was an illegal blow. I was waiting for something like that, and it didn't happen. Because if I look back over some other times where there have been, when somebody throws something at you that you're not expecting, like in this case, an extreme case would be the shoulder strikes, because we've never seen that before. Now the sport has changed. The likelihood of you seeing this Hail Mary that got thrown, this was a fake pass into a Hail Mary, and it worked. The wide receiver catches the ball, and the stadium erupts. This is a moment in history that just cannot be replicated. So if you look further into what happens with Cowboy, I'm going, is he going to cry foul on it? Because others in the past have. I can tell you, back when I was a kid, I didn't understand the controversy between Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Now, you know I'm talking probably about the ear bites, right? But you have to understand that there were two bouts. There was Mike Tyson versus Holyfield 1, where Tyson complained about headbutts. You can go back and you can see them, whether they were intentional or not. The referee says these are unintentional, this happens in a fight, and even at the end, Mike Tyson mentioned something about that, how these things can happen from time to time. Taking my swig of water there. And then, of course, the controversy of the second one with the ear bites. And I can still remember there was a top 10 list for Mike Tyson on the David Letterman show. I still remember this comment once. I think it was like number 8. It was self-defense, he kept on punching me. Well, if you kind of put that in perspective now, you have the, well, he headbutted me in the first one. Two wrongs don't make a right, obviously, but if you look for the, I never understood the controversy of the ear bite, except that he got his ear bit. And now we can put this into the whole story and go, okay, this is out of frustration, headbutts that were not expected by Mike Tyson. It even happened once in a NCAA wrestling bout. I think it was about 2015. It was Jake Varner versus Dustin Kilgore. And these guys are wrestling, and all of a sudden, you see fists that are thrown by Kilgore to Varner, and everybody's up in arms and saying, well, he should be ejected from the sport immediately. You don't throw punches in wrestling. But what they don't tell you is that Jake Varner did a fish hook on Kilgore, meaning that you take your two fingers, you put them on the side of their mouth, and you just pull. Now, that part wasn't discussed. We didn't get any close-ups on Kilgore's mouth to see if there's any blood, but this is just out of frustration. This is how the reaction is. You have to give Cowboy credit for not disputing any of these unorthodox shoulder strikes. My point is, in the past, when there's something that's supposed to lead to aggression, that's lead to embarrassment, that's supposed to catch you off guard, and Cowboy doesn't respond to it. His response is, yeah, I didn't see that coming, and he dazed me, and that was all it was for the fight. He handled that beautifully. So please give any type of hat tips, no pun intended, to Cowboy, if you can, just putting it into that mindset. Because others before him have acted out and been brash when something comes up that is takes their attention away from the fight or away from the wrestling or away from the boxing, and it throws off their game completely. Cowboy just accepted it. And just tips his hat, literally, and makes way outside of the cage. And there is a lot of respect that's given at the end of this fight. And then, of course, there's been the discussion, who is next for Connor? Now, I'm sure we can throw a lot of names into the hat, and we can go, okay, if you look at the arena, two camera shots were taken. One of Jorge Masvidal holding his BMF title, which personally is the one that I want. Or you can look at the title for Kamaru Usman, and you see him yawning. So that there's two possibilities in 170, now that we know that Conor is able to perform in this weight class. So we got the champion, Kamaru Usman. You got the BMF title for Jorge Masvidal. But we can throw some other names in there. Who do we throw in? Colby Covington. Oh, I'd love to see Conor go at Colby Covington. But not sure to see where he's going to be headed at this point. It seems like the promotion wants Khabib. But here's the part that we don't seem to be looking at, is that Khabib and Tony Ferguson are going to fight. Now, if Tony pulls out, then I guess that's a hypothetical, sure, Conor can move right in. But then if you have Khabib versus Tony, it's not long after this that Khabib is going to be going into Ramadan. Now we can't look at Khabib as a possible... It seems that that's what the promotion wants us to embrace. Most fans are embracing Masvidal. Now, even Justin Gaethje is coming up, and that's one of the ones we believe that he's waiting on a title shot, or at least the number one contendership between Khabib and Ferguson, so I guess we have to wait come April. But Dana White is now pushing Gaethje to actually make a decision. Now it looks like he's not too happy with his employee, so employee versus the boss seems to be going on, at least from the sources that I've been looking at. And then you have, what, Nate Diaz? So we could have the trilogy, which is still a possibility. Is it easy to get Nate to sign on the dotted line? Huh, you figure that one out. Kind of hard to get him to come to the table. Now, another one that we can consider that people said, if this guy comes to the table, you could have Conor versus George St. Pierre. Okay, let's back up a little bit. I used to work at Enterprise. Let's say if I have somebody who is a mid-sized car and we don't have the one they need. What you don't do is you don't downgrade them, so you upgrade them to the next possible car. So maybe I'm going from a Nissan Versa to a Nissan Passat or something like that. Maybe that could be what's happening. You're trying to give us, literally in Enterprise thinking, you are doing an upgrade to a Mercedes. Anybody can sell a Mercedes-Benz, or anybody can sell a Bentley. Okay? And we can't count on GSP willing to sign on the dotted line. We know that fight works. And we know that we would take it if we were given that opportunity. But let's just put the brakes on a little bit and not expect to see GSP be put into the pot as well. I give you all that to chew on a little bit. The one in my mind that I truly want the most, that seems to make the most sense to me to figure out a contendership for the title, would be Conor versus Jorge Masvidal in a BMF bout. Again, no lineage to the title, but maybe you finally have some if this happens. I guess that's just me being selfish, because there's so many scenarios that we can throw out, but don't count on Khabib. Kamaru Usman, again, it seems like, are we going to have Jorge versus Kamaru Usman for the title there? I don't know. But really, Conor can do what Conor wants to do. Does he want to go back and fight Floyd Mayweather? Even that's been discussed. The only answer I've got is what Dana White says all the time. Let's wait and see. I know it's an annoying answer, but it is the answer that you can give. Only time is going to tell. I am now standing before you a week later and saying what a difference a day makes, but I'm also saying let's wait and see where the cards fall and see when we have the breaking news. And personally, what I want is Conor versus Jorge Masvidal. But if it goes any other way, then we can start to shuffle and we can figure out what's going on in the game of UFC edition of Texas Hold'em and who's going to cash in their chips when and where. We can watch it from that point. Now, bringing up on Masvidal, post UFC 246, he has a hilarious encounter with one of the interviews that he takes. Interviewers, one of the journalists that come up to him. And he mentioned something about there was a backstage confrontation between him and Colby Covington. And then somewhere in there, Dana White calls him over and tries to be funny. This is from Jorge's own mouth. Trying to be funny. Dana says, don't give him a three-piece in the soda if you don't mind. He smiles. And Jorge's response is, what are you talking about, Dana? And Dana's, in other words, Dana is too afraid that if anybody is going to throw hands at this point, it's going to be Jorge Masvidal. But Masvidal has mentioned how, I don't throw hands on you unless you actually come into my space. So you can say and you can talk crap all you want to several rows away or on the internet, but until you get into my personal space and you do that, then that's what I'm going to answer for it. And that's actually been confirmed in another story that he had with Michael Bisping. I'm going to share this one with you because I heard it not too long ago on Chael's podcast on You're Welcome, is that there was some beef between Michael Bisping and Jorge Masvidal, and they somehow they squashed it and they met up and I guess they had a few drinks, and then Jorge tells him a story. And the story is that Masvidal was once at a bar, and some guy came over and started tugging at his golden chain that he had around his neck. I'm not going to tell the story as properly and adequately as Masvidal would, but somewhere in there, that his street mentality, street Jesus as we call him, decides that I'm going to give you some salvation and I'm going to go ahead and knock you out for trying to mess with my chain, because I'm assuming after you rub and touch my chain, the next step is you're going to snatch it off of me. So he levels the two guys in the bar, and all of a sudden a melee breaks out and Jorge actually goes into the bathroom. What's funny about this is that he lays low while this scuffle's going on, and there's somebody that comes into the bathroom. Now, we don't know who it is, whether it's the third guy or just a patron, somebody that's come in to use the bathroom, and his response to this when he tells Bisping, I didn't know if he was coming in to whoop me or if he was just going to use the restroom, but I couldn't take that risk, so I decked him too. So he lays this guy out on the floor in the bathroom, and his only response is, he could have been, but I wasn't taking any risk. Street Jesus has got one of the greatest demeanors and one of the funniest sense of humors that really does come authentically from the East Coast streets. And that's why, again, amongst many reasons why I'm going to give him the spotlight of the week, I'm going to go ahead and do a video for Roku TV that I have for the Yogi's Podcast Network, and the spotlight of the week is going to be Jorge Masvidal. So I'm sharing that same story that I have for you now up on Roku TV. That's coming up later. So those videos will come eventually. When they surface, I'll make sure you, Blockhead Nation, get a chance to listen to it. And also, one thing I want to remind you about is my friends over at the Blade Tap. Guys, the 3-in-1 razor unclogger, sharpener, and holder. Cut your shaving time in half. Save money. No wasted water. Sharpen your blades for a smooth and comfortable shave every time with the Blade Tap. Just use my link in the podcast today to purchase the Blade Tap and find out how you can purchase 2 or more Blade Taps and get free shipping on these. The fastest way to get a close, comfortable shave every time, not having to replace your razors all the time, with my friends over at the Blade Tap. And with that, guys, I have a very special guest that's lined up. The month of February is looking pretty good. Possibly, if everything stays aligned as it should be, we're going to have at least 2 guests that are going to be coming on the show. So I'll make sure that I clear my schedule for them. And with that note, this is your favorite Blockhead. We'll see you next time. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel. Change the other one.